I find rest in God alone. Our peace depends on Him. It doesn't depend on your situation, your environment, your circumstances, how well things are going at the moment. Your peace is only going to be found in Him who is peace, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. He is our peace. And Jesus said to His disciples, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world, but My peace." It's a peace that passes what? All understanding. You can't intellectualize God's peace. You can only experience it by faith, opening your life and allowing Him to flood you with Himself. You know, God doesn't barge the door down. He waits and He knocks and He waits for us to respond and open the door and let Him in. And aren't you glad that God is patient with us? That we do have a refuge in Him and we can turn to Him. You don't have to live in fear or in condemnation. Just call upon Him. Amen. He's gracious. He's merciful. But the more that we come to know the Lord, the more that we will respect Him. We will fear the Lord and we will honor Him in our lives. And the more that we come to really know Him, the more that we will want to live a life that honors Him. Amen. It's because of His Spirit at work within our lives. Hallelujah. How many have found the Lord to be just so faithful to you? Even when you begin to stray sometimes, how many have discovered the Lord is there to... I mean, He's got a long shepherd's crook, amen? You know, those long hooks. Praise God for that, amen? But He doesn't want us to be like a stubborn mule, right? He wants us to be a willing, amen, yielded vessel to Him. How many know that God only has good in store for us? Amen. He's not here to take away joy. He wants you to have His joy. He wants you to experience real joy, lasting joy, and peace in Him. Hallelujah. And when your heart's not right with God, there is no peace. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there's no peace for the wicked. Amen. But when we're in right standing with Christ and He's in us, we have peace. And sometimes it's just a matter of belief. You know, you have to believe what God said in order to receive what He offers. Isn't that true? You have to believe what He says in order to receive what He is offering you. And He's offering you Christ. He's offering Himself to you as your peace. So if I believe that I have Christ and I have peace, then I experience Him because peace is received, or Christ is received, by faith. It is by grace that we are saved. And you know that word salvation has several meanings in Scripture. I don't want to get into it this morning, but, you know, it could be rescue from, you know, just calamity in life. It could be a salvation from, as Israel was in Egyptian bondage, you know. But the most important salvation, amen, is the salvation of our soul, where our soul is set free from the power of sin, from the power of Satan. When we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of His dear Son, amen, into the kingdom of light, Jesus Christ. And that's the new life, the salvation. And when you receive salvation, your heart will rejoice. Your heart will, amen, cry out to your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says that He sends the Spirit of His heart, of His Son, into your heart, crying out, what? Abba, Father. So if Christ is in you, you have a desire, amen, to talk to your Heavenly Father, to commune with Him, to call on Him. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Father, we just thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your promises. That You are a promise keeper. That You do what You say You will do. Lord, You told us not to live by sight, by the way things appear, but to live with confidence in those things that You promise, Lord. Your promises are always yea and amen. They are true. Because You are true. Because You are faithful. And because we believe You, Lord. We don't believe what things look like. We believe what You say. Because Your word supersedes our own understanding, our own intellectual ability. Your peace is a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we believe that you are our peace. I believe I have peace today, Lord, because I have you. I have joy today because I have you. I have all that I have need of because I have you. And with you, Lord, we have all things. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be a part of your family, of your kingdom, through the new birth. Thank you, Lord, for your shed blood for us on the cross, that we can be forgiven, that the debt can be canceled, that we can be released from prison. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Lord. I want to just say this because I've been praying a lot about the millennials and this generation coming up. You know, that God is calling and raising up that generation right now, because you guys are not the church of tomorrow. You're actually the church of today. Amen. And God is raising you up for such a time as this. And so we have to heed his call. We have to obey. Amen. The call to commit ourselves to the mission of God and to his work, even in the local church. We want you guys to understand that this is not just an us and them thing. It's a we thing. We've been called to a body. Amen. To function together as a body under the mission of God. If this is where God has called you, then God wants you to commit to it. Amen. And to discover who you are, where you belong in the whole scheme of things. And God will reveal that to you if you seek him. We don't try to push people to do things. We encourage people to seek God. And as you press into him, he will begin to quicken you in your spirit. He'll make you alive. He'll wake you up to your purpose. You'll begin to desire the things that he desires. And then you'll want to come forth and you want to serve. You say, what can I do? I'm just here to serve. Amen. How many know that that's what Jesus came to do? He didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. Amen. So we serve one another. Amen. And according to the gifts that God has given us. And each one of us are very unique and different. And it doesn't have to look like me. Amen. I don't have to look like you. We're individuals, right? God said, I want variety in my garden. You know, all different shapes and colors and whatever. Amen. Not everybody's as good looking as me, but you know, just. But God wants variety. Amen. And each of us are unique, and each one of us are important as part of something that's much bigger than we are. And we have to understand that when you are here, you are blessing others that are here. You can say, well, how? I'm just sitting here listening. Well, just you being here blesses me. Amen. When you come, you're bringing something with you. Amen. How many know that God has assigned his angels to his people? Amen. So you're bringing your angels with you. And how many know that if you are in Christ, then you have an anointing? Amen. So you're bringing your anointing. The Holy Spirit is with you. Amen. And together, we just create this cloud of glory. It's wonderful. If all of our hearts are united, amen, to worship the Lord together, it's just amazing what happens. How God just moves so wonderfully and beautifully. And you know what he's doing? He's getting his church ready. He's making his church beautiful for the time when we will be presented to Christ in that day. Amen. At the great wedding supper of the Lamb. The consummation. Amen. Of the wedding. Praise God. Hallelujah. So those who are living for Jesus are the ones that are looking forward to the day when the Lord returns. Amen. So that's a good way to examine yourself. If I'm just like, oh, not yet, Lord, I got all these other things I want to do right now. No, when you're living for Jesus, you're looking forward to Jesus coming. Right, yeah. Amen. Because you understand that you're only a pilgrim. That's what we talked about this morning in Sunday school. By the way, great Sunday school class, 9:30 or 9:15. Brother Wayne is we're moving beyond Genesis. It's called Beyond Genesis. Okay. And we're in Exodus and different. We're just going through the word together. And it's a really good time of equipping and preparing. If you can make it here, I encourage you to get up a little earlier. Come on to Sunday school. You want to learn the word? We're going through it line by line, precept upon precept. Amen. We're going verse by verse through the word of God. And you'll really learn a lot because Wayne is quite a teacher. He does his homework. Amen. Praise God. You know, on Christ the solid rock I stand. I love that hymn. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now, the foundation of a building, of course, is the most important part of the structure. How many have done construction work, amen, and understands construction and how that works? And how many understand that you cannot skimp on the foundation? You know, you have to pay very careful attention to how that foundation is being laid, that it's being done correctly, that you're using the right materials. Amen. Otherwise, what's going to happen is that thing may get pretty and big, but if the foundation isn't good, that foundation is going to start to crumble. Amen. If it's compromised, it's not going to be able to hold that building for very long. How many have looked at a lot of these old houses that were kind of shoddily built? And sometimes you can't help it because the ground is that they were built on was not good. But in some cases, somebody just kind of like haphazardly, you know, built a foundation and built a house. And you look at the house today, it's all slanted and the roof is coming in on it, you know, because the foundation is vital, amen, to the integrity of that building. And so our foundation, of course, is Jesus Christ, amen. But we have to have Christ as the foundation of everything that we believe. And everything that we do, it has to be in Christ according to His plan, His purpose for our lives. If you built your house, amen, upon sand, Jesus said, it's not going to last very long, amen. Eventually it will collapse. What is sand? Sand is speaking, of course, our own selfish ambitions and our own ways, the way of the world. You know, all of us have ideas and opinions, you know. But God wants us to put our faith, our confidence, our trust in Him who is the truth. He said, you'll know the truth will make you free. Jesus is building our lives upon that which is true, which is His Word. And so we're supposed to be, you know, wise in the Lord, but not wise in our own understanding. We need God's wisdom, amen, for our lives to be built properly. Amen. We need the instruction of the Lord in order to know how we should then live and find out what pleases the Lord through the Word of God. So we can't use just any materials when you build a foundation. You can't use cheap materials. I can tell you that I've been in a country where they were in a hurry to make a lot of buildings very quickly. And so they used, also they were trying to cut expenses and build cheaply. So they used more sand and less concrete. Okay? So what happens when you use too much sand and not enough concrete, you have a compromised, right, building. The integrity of that building is compromised. And I can remember back when I was B.C., before Christ, I got really mad one day and I lost my temper. And how many know that most concrete walls you don't want to punch because they don't give it all, right? And so I hauled off and punched this wall and I actually put a dent in it. It was probably about, a half an inch of concrete just crumbled and came down. And I didn't break my fist either. So that tells you that integrity, there's a lot of sand in that concrete. Amen. If it's built well, it's not going to do that. I don't care how strong you are, how hard you hit. Amen. If you've got good concrete, it's strong. It's going to hold together. So I was kind of like, well, we're living in this place. But truth is what's real, what's authentic. Amen? Truth doesn't change. Truth is not built, is not based upon my personal opinion about something. And so it's like a mighty fortress. Our God is a mighty fortress. He is our sure foundation. But truth is the foundation that you can build your life on and know that it will stand. How many here have believed something that was not true as though it were true? We've all been deceived, right? So we've believed lies before. Maybe somebody told you something and it sounded so good, it sounded so right. Or maybe they were so convincing. He was so wonderful, so dreamy, whatever. Only to find out he had an agenda, amen? It's like the salesman, right? He can tell you how wonderful that car is and you're looking at it and maybe on the outside it may look pretty. And they know that women especially are drawn to pretty shiny things, you know, so they'll take you out. You ever notice, most guys are like, okay, let's look under the hood. Oh no, you don't want to, you don't need to do that. Trust me, you know. The ladies are like, man, that is a pretty car. I want that one. Not all ladies, but some ladies, you know, they're drawn to the shiny things. So sometimes these salesmen, they just capitalize on that, you know. And it's kind of like the devil, though. Is that what he does? He presents something as being pretty and shiny and attractive, and yet underneath it's not so pretty. And that's sin, isn't it? That's you and I in our own wisdom, you know, being wise in our own eyes and our own understanding. And, well, brother, that may work for you, but for me, truth is this. You know, as if we create our own reality, right? Well, you may think that stop sign is important. I don't. My truth is that is irrelevant. There's people saying, oh, the Word of God, the Bible, the Christian church is irrelevant today. We're doing a new thing, you know. Well, how many know that it was God's plan to have a local church, a local assembly, amen, a gathering of together in His name, amen, and a place where we can meet. And I believe it's going to be that way until the Lord returns, whether it's above ground or below ground, because there's people meeting, amen, in places of obscurity because of fear of being persecuted all over the world. Underground church in China is larger than the above ground church in America. And they are on fire for God. I mean, they have 8-hour meetings, amen, in over 100-degree weather. And they cry to the point where they say that they actually mop up the floor afterwards because they're just pouring out their heart to God. And you know what's happening? There's a shaking going on over there. People are coming to Jesus. Amen. I'm being radically transformed and saved. Hallelujah. And receiving new life. And many of them understand that they have something better. Amen. In the Lord. And that they're willing to lay down their lives knowing that here there's no continuing city. Amen. This is only a temporary place. We are called to be pilgrims. Amen. We're happy campers. We're just camping out. Amen. Isaiah 28:16 says, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes need not never be shaken. Who's he speaking of here? Jesus. Amen. Ephesians 2:20, having been built, the church, on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Amen. You can't build, amen, a church on man's opinion, on market strategies. You can't go around a neighborhood with a clipboard and find out what the people want. Okay, we'll build a church according to what everybody's opinion is here. Amen. And all kinds of people are going to come and attend our church. How many know it's not your church in the first place? It's God's church we're building here. Amen. And we're not talking about the building. We're talking about people. God is into building people. Amen. And we're built together as a holy habitation of God in the Spirit. You and I make up the building of God. Each one of us is an individual lively stone. Amen. And we're created in Christ. And God forms us and He brings us together. This is a temple not made by hands. Amen. Amen. Because God dwells in you and I. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we must build our lives upon truth. And anything that does not agree with what is authentic or real is a deception. It is a lie, amen? And it's like building your house upon sand. It's an opinion that often is simply not true. I've had a lot of opinions about things. I've been convinced about things in my life. I've argued with people about my perspective a few times to later find out I wasn't quite right about it. How many know that's a humbling thing to happen? But it happens. It's part of our growth. You know, as a teenager, man, you just all of a sudden you hit 14 or 15 and you know it all. You've arrived. Those old people, they don't get it, you know. But the older you get, the smarter your parents become, you know. In Matthew 16:13, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. And he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? This is the most important question that needs to be asked. Who is Jesus? And while they replied, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. How many know that many people build their lives on the opinions of others? They build their lives upon what others say. Not really even checking out the facts. How many know that you can go downtown to some of these protests and start asking some very honest questions and logical questions as to, well, why are you down here? What are you protesting? And it's amazing how many people are down there busting stuff up, burning stuff, and causing a riot. And you ask them what they're rioting, and they don't even give you an answer. They can't give you an answer. They're just following the crowd. Well, my friends are out here. That's what we call a chicken yard mentality. Chickens just waddle around in the poop, and they peck at each other. And they lead each other around, you know. We had some ducks. Ducks are pretty dumb, too. I remember having some ducks one time. And the ducks would just follow, and they'd like walk off this little ledge thing and drop into an empty, there's no water. But they just jump in, you know. And the other ones would go, whoop, whoop. They just follow suit right behind them, you know. It's like, but an eagle, what does an eagle do? An eagle builds its nest above, amen, the snake line above where the vipers are. So they can't be touched by them. And the eagle soars on wings, amen, on his wings and on the winds. He soars on the winds, amen. And an eagle is an individual, amen. But an eagle has a different view of things than the chickens. The chickens can only see so far in front of their face. Amen. It's like you and I, we're ground people, amen. But if you get up in a plane, it's like all of a sudden, like, wow, amen. Things are sure bigger than we thought. But likewise, in Christ, we are an eagle by type. We are to soar with Him. He takes us up into heavenly realms and opens our understanding and gives us a snapshot, our perspective from heaven. And we begin to see things the way they really are from above. Amen? So God doesn't want His people, amen, living with a chicken yard mentality. He doesn't want us just down here pecking each other, amen, and competing and comparing and all this stuff. He wants us to rise up with Him, amen, in the realm of the Holy Spirit. And when we are all rising up together in Christ and united together in the Spirit of Christ, there is true peace among us. Isn't that how it works? Why do the wars and the fightings come, Paul said to the Corinthians? Because of the members in your body. He says it's your carnal nature, amen, that's causing the grumbling and the complaining and the comparing and the competing and all the stuff that goes on sometimes, even among people, right? He says, but if you are united in the Spirit, you'll be in the bond of peace, amen, and we automatically get along. How many know that when we've had a good time of worship together? Amen. There was an old song years ago. It said, give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It says, one of the verses says, it makes you love one another. It makes you love everybody. Makes you love everybody. It's good enough for me. Well, we're not talking about religion, are we? But we're but in Christ, amen, in the Spirit, we get along. Because in Him is love. Amen. And when we love, we're considerate. When we love, we're giving. When we love, we're serving others. When we love, we're not self-centered. When we're in the love of God, love is not rude. Amen. Love is not boastful or proud. Love keeps no record of wrongs. I'm not holding that against you because of what you said and what you did. But the love of God is an agape love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that says, I'm willing to lay down my life for my friend or for my brother. I'm willing to take it on the cheek, amen, for the sake of peace. Because in our natural man, it's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Under the law, everything was exacted back, amen, according to what was done to us. But when Jesus showed up, he says, I want you to love your enemies. Love your enemies. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I'm thinking there's some people that are pretty hard to love. Maybe some people feel that way about me even. You know, I know there's days I'm probably hard to love. We love one another. There's a song years ago we sang, I love you with the love of the Lord. But you know, when it comes down to it, to the question of who is the Christ, who is Jesus? Remember, Peter was the one that says, you are the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. Because others were saying, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, Elijah. And so a lot of people, like I was just mentioning, they build their lives on whatever the media tells them. That's why there are certain people, certain powers that are at work, even the spirit of Antichrist, that knows the importance of getting a hold of the media and controlling it. Control the information and you can control the population usually by misinformation, by lies, propaganda, to get people to believe something that's not true as though it were. And if you don't have anything to compare it to, if you don't have any other means of hearing from God, if you don't have the Word of God, you can believe just about anything, because then it's up to my own opinion about what I believe to be true. And so when Jesus shows up, he starts to speak to them the truth, and they begin to say, wow, no man has ever spoke to me like this before. No man ever spoke like this man. This is something different here. He's not like the scribes. He's not like the Pharisees. He says, but when he speaks with authority. Why was that? Because he was the authority. He was the king. Amen. He was the word that became flesh. And he presented God himself in the flesh to us. Amen. So what he was saying was in his authority and under his Father's authority. Amen. Because he came from the Father. So some say John the Baptist, some say. How many know that you can go through a room of people and ask people what they believe about Jesus? Or you can ask the question, well, who's Jesus? You can ask the Mormons who Jesus is and they'll give you a little different perspective, right? They'll present to you a different Jesus. You can ask the Jehovah's Witnesses who Jesus is and they're giving you a different Jesus. It may not be the true Jesus. In fact, it isn't. But what we want to know is who is the real Jesus, the true Jesus. Amen? We don't want a fake Jesus. We don't want a counterfeit. We want to know who the truth is. And you know, I've been saying this for some time now, but you cannot know the real Jesus without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, who reveal to you who Jesus really is. Not as Job, who had heard about Jesus too, remember? Talked about it last week. I heard of you in the hearing of my ear, but now I have seen you. And I abhor myself and I repent in sackcloth and ashes. He was saying, I'm undone when I had the true revelation of who God really was. I had an opinion of God that wasn't based in reality. It wasn't based in truth. But now I'm beginning to find out who God really is. And it humbled him completely. He was undone. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, beginning to know the Lord. When it comes to the scriptures, when it comes to the Word of God, some people, they don't read the Bible, you know. I know some people struggle with reading the Bible. I get that. You can listen to it on audio tape even nowadays, praise God. And even if you have struggle reading it, read it out loud to yourself so you're also hearing it. But they don't listen, they don't read the Bible themselves, but they believe whatever anybody else tells them about the Bible. They believe what others tell them it's saying. And then on the other side, you got others that pride themselves in how much Bible knowledge they have. that they've accumulated. How many know you got to go beyond the knowledge to the person of Jesus Christ? Amen? Now, how many know that it's possible to possess great scriptural knowledge and yet not know the truth? John 5:39 says, "You search the scriptures." Jesus said, "For in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." You're not willing to what? Come to me. You know, it's possible for people to study and study and learn and go to, you know, theological seminary and have all kinds of information and education, but not know the person of the Lord. And so this is a sad state, isn't it? And because if you don't have Christ, what's the purpose? You know, just learning about him, or do you want to know him? And God sees the heart. You see, God knows those who really want to know. The disciples were inquisitive. The disciples were asking Jesus, "What did you mean by that?" They were the ones that would humble themselves and admit that they didn't have all the answers. They were asking the questions. How many know it's a good thing to be asking questions? Amen. I don't know it all, and neither do you. So we need to be asking and saying, "Lord, I want to know the meaning of this. Show me. Reveal the truth to me by your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth." And Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And they, what was Simon? He says, "You are the Messiah." And then he said in verse 17, "You're blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." I mean, you know that I can't help you either. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the one who can give you the revelation of Jesus. I'm simply a vessel. Amen. We're just vessels. So it's not about me. Amen. It's about Jesus working through me. Amen. The same thing is true with any of us here. It's not about how much we know. It's do we know him, and are we able to be a vessel for God to work through to make himself known through? God wants to reveal himself through us to other people. But if we're presenting ourselves, then that's all they're going to get. And how many know if you're presenting yourself in ministry, you're not helping anybody? I've run into a few people along the way that really they're very narcissistic and they're in positions of ministry. And it was all about them, you could tell. And how many know that God can't use somebody like that? He can't use proud people. He has to use humble servants, ones that are not there to present themselves, but to present him. He can't use people that have their own agenda, but the ones who are willing to speak the word of the Lord faithfully as he gives it to them, because they understand that they're not presenting themselves to man, but they're presenting Christ to others. So that's where we need to be as his servants, as his disciples. So the disciples, they are basically repeating the speculations of others. Some say, you know, you're John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. And others say, well, maybe Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter, the outspoken one, was, praise God, he had the revelation. He says, "You are." He didn't say, "You are a Christ." "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the only way to the Father." Amen. He understood who was there. And he couldn't have known that except the Father allowed him to see it. He received revelation. Again, you can't learn God in a classroom. He has to be revealed by the Spirit. And so Simon answered by revelation from God and not from man. So Simon, who's Peter, the outspoken one, was someone who was not just going to settle for someone else's opinion. You know, I don't know if you notice this or not, but especially in this generation now, because it's been a process of time of indoctrination and in a sense of dumbing down, I'm sorry to say, in the educational system and everything, to where a lot of our youth today don't know how to critically think about anything. They just accept stuff. That's why somebody can say something on YouTube And next thing you know, they're running. And they got all these likes and all these people following that stuff without even checking out the facts. Because don't confuse me with the facts. I just want to believe what I hear. It sounded right. I mean, no, we've all heard things that sounded right that weren't right. Our opinions, amen, will get us in trouble. We need to know what is true. Because truth is the only foundation to build your life on. You must build your life on Jesus Christ, amen, on the Word of God. And Jesus said in Mark 16:18, "Now I say to you, you are Peter," which means rock. And actually, it means what? Petros, which is little stone. He says, "You are a little stone. And upon this rock, Petra, big stone, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Now, this is where people have gotten into trouble, to somehow think that Peter was the first pope and he was the one that God was going to build his church on. No, he was saying that the foundation of truth stands. Amen? The foundation of God's Word is what we build our lives on. Jesus said, "You must listen to my teachings and do what I say." Amen? "And your house will be established upon the rock." Amen. And even though the things of life will come against you, you're going to be able to stand up under it because you're firmly founded and grounded in truth, what's authentic. And once you know what is true, you can't be duped by the lie. Once the light comes on and you see clearly, you say, "No, that's a cockroach." And you're illegal. You're out of here. That wasn't my furry little kitten. That was a rat. He's saying, "I'm going to build my church on the foundation of truth, who Jesus is. And heaven and earth will pass away," Mark 13:31, "but my words will by no means pass away." You can't build your life apart from Christ, and this is where we've gotten into trouble so many times. We've tried to build our lives just upon our own opinion and what we think would be good. And how many have realized that there's some things that you thought were going to make you feel good that later made you feel bad? It felt good at the time, and later on you're like, "Man, what was I thinking?" Well, I wasn't. I wasn't operating in the truth. I was operating in an opinion based upon the way something appeared. But it wasn't based in truth or in reality. God is the architect of our lives. His Word or His truth is our foundation. So if we try to build our lives independent of Christ, we're going to fail in the long run. Even though we may establish something in the natural that may endure for a season or for a while, you know, eventually the cracks of your foundation are going to be revealed. We look at people and people pattern their lives after Hollywood celebrities, you know, for an example. And, "Oh, if I could be like so-and-so, I'll dress like, act like, talk like, look like, you know, this person because they're just so wonderful." And then next thing you know, this person's, their life is just falling apart. They're on antidepressants and they're seeing psychiatrists and they're in divorce and all the mess that they're in. And they're so unhappy, even though they've got all the money that anybody could possibly want, they're still not fulfilled in that. Why? Because they're building their life upon sand, upon something that is temporary, something that will never satisfy you completely. Amen? Only Jesus Christ is the foundation that you can build your life on, and know that no matter what happens, if I'm in Christ, I'm in His security. I'm in the strong tower of my God. Amen? My God is with me. My God is my rock, my sword, and my shield. Amen. He's my strong tower. I can run to Him and be safe in His presence. Hallelujah. And when the stresses of life come upon me, I know I have a refuge in my God. I'll begin to cry out to the Lord. I'll get into that place called prayer. Amen. And begin to pour my heart out to God. Then the peace of God will rule and reign in me once again. Hallelujah. And I get up and I look at that problem that looks so big and I say, "Man, that was it." Because now I've got an eagle's eye perspective of that thing. Amen. When I was down in the barnyard looking at it, I was like, "Man, that's a big ugly dog in my path," you know. When you get up in the sky, amen, you get up higher, you get from Jesus' perspective, it's just a little ant walking around down there. Amen. Think about it. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to find our refuge in Him. He wants us to trust in His Word. Trust in the truth. What He's taught us. Amen. Always works. His Word does not fail you. He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. We have something to boast about. We have something to rejoice about. We don't rejoice or boast in ourselves. We boast and rejoice in our God. That's what praise is. It means to make your boast in. Make your boast in Jesus. Amen. Let people know how good and how wonderful Jesus is. Hallelujah. So God has given us His Word, His truth. Amen. How many love the Word of God here today? You know, in Psalms 127:1, one of my favorite, I'm almost through by the way. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. We're talking about the same thing we're talking about here. You got to build your life in truth. Establish your life in truth. Only truth will keep you. Amen. Yes. Only truth will protect you. And only truth will get you to your destiny. You've got to believe the Lord. You've got to believe His Word, what He says to you. You must understand that when God says something, He means it. Every one of His words, amen, are established forever in heaven. Hallelujah. God doesn't say something, you know, lightly. What He says, He means. He's truth. And if I'm willing to trust Him and submit myself to His Word, I will find that His Word proves true over and over again. In my life, I'm telling you from experience. Somebody here have some experience, amen, with God. And have discovered that the Lord is faithful. And that the Lord will get you through every situation. You trust in Him. You trust in His Word to you. And He will give you instruction. He'll show you the way that you should go. You'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Okay, Lord. Walking very carefully because there's many traps. Amen. Along the way. We've got to keep on that straight and narrow, which is the truth. The Word of God. Amen. To get to our destination with joy in the end. When Solomon's temple was being built, God gave specific instructions as to how to build it. He gave them exact dimensions. He told them specifically what they were even to use for materials. They weren't just going to go out and say, well, I think we'll use clay or mortar or whatever. He says, these are the materials that you will use to build this temple. Very specific. Why? Because they were not to use their own understanding. They were not to build it according to their own understanding or their own pattern. Likewise, our lives cannot be built adequately or correctly by our own wisdom. Even though we may achieve things in this world, how many know the things of this world are temporary? And some people do. They get to the top of the pile and they get the most toys. Amen. And they think, well, if I get the most toys, then I win, you know. The real question is since there's no U-Hauls going to heaven, what are you going to do in that day? When every knee's going to bow to Him, every tongue's going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. We all have our day then. It's like, what have you done with your life? Well, I partied. I lived for myself. I lavished everything upon myself and I had a wonderful life, did you? What have you got to show for it now? What is going to endure for eternity? What are you sowing now that will last for eternity? You see, we're called to join Jesus in His mission. To sow this life now for Him and His will, amen, for us. And understand that someday the Lord is going to receive us, amen. And in that day He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. How many know that God is looking for somebody who will partner with Him? Somebody who will be loyal to Him. Somebody who will say, here am I, Lord, send me. And if you're looking for Jesus, it's because you're living for Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't like this world too much. And even the things that you try to satisfy yourself, the temporal things in this world, they don't last, do they? Well, that was fun. What's the next thrill? Well, let's go on the roller coaster one more time. Woohoo! Now what? I don't know. I'm feeling a little sick right now. You can't build your life upon opinion. All right? or the opinions of others. You got to build your life according to the word of the Lord. So God sent his Holy Spirit. We have a personal teacher. Praise God for that. Amen. In 1 John 2:27, it says, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as that same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." Isn't that what Jesus said in John 15 about abiding in him? Abiding in his word is abiding in him. Okay? And who is the Holy Spirit? He is the Spirit of truth, the Paraclete. Amen? "But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you." New Living Translation. "So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ." When you are building your life on the truth, amen, then you are actually abiding in him who is true. It's not based upon, well, I like that, but I don't like that. It's kind of like saying, well, yeah, I'll add a little concrete, but I'd rather just add more sand to the foundation because, in my opinion, I'm saving a few bucks. I'm taking a shortcut. I'm taking a cheap route. You know, I'm not going to have a prayer life of my own. I'll just go around and let everybody lay their hands on my head. Give me some of that. Give me some of your oil. Now, I'm a glutton for the presence, amen. I'll say, oh, you can pray for me, sure. But what I'm trying to say is that we need to have a personal relationship and a walk with God and a prayer life, amen, so that we're not going around always borrowing from somebody else. We know how to go to the source ourselves. God has given us His Holy Spirit. He's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's no reason why we should be anemic spiritually, amen. We should be well-watered. We should be bearing good fruit because God has made himself available to us 24/7. All we have need of is in him. He satisfies. He completes. And you don't have to force it. You abide. You bear fruit because you abide in him. Amen. Who is the fruit bearer? God sent his Holy Spirit. Now hear this. The Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, for what he teaches you is true. But let's back up. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. So is he saying that we don't need then to listen to teaching? No. What do you think he's saying here? If he's saying you don't need, because some people take this literally and they never sit under anybody. They never listen to anybody else. You know, they're a law unto themselves. They're the only ones that got the revelation. You know, nobody else gets it like I do. And they don't go in fellowship with God's people because they just got it all together and they just me and Jesus. They call them lone rangers, you know. They're just out on their own doing their own thing, you know. But he's not saying that you don't sit and listen to teaching. What he's saying is you need to understand, like Peter did, that even though Peter was listening to the opinions of others, he was listening to the perspective of others. Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others saying Jeremiah, one of the prophets. You know, he understood that he had to go deep. He had to ask the question within his own heart and say, God, what's the meaning of this? Who is Jesus? You get that? He had a revelation. The Father revealed to Peter who Jesus was. He could not have known any other way except that he was revealed to him by the Father. And so when we hear a word, amen, we rely upon the Holy Spirit to confirm in us whether or not that is true. Amen. And when you hear a message and it's confirming in your own spirit, you know that the Holy Spirit is the one speaking. Amen. It bears witness with your spirit so that basically as I listen to teachers, I have the teacher with me, the perfect teacher. Amen. And I can compare what I'm hearing with what he's speaking to me. Amen. But let me say this, because sometimes our intellect does get in the way. Sometimes we do get our own understanding involved a little bit. So we can be very convinced we're right about something. Amen. Until later on, the Holy Spirit says, but have you considered this? Well, you heard about me in the hearing of your ear. You had a certain theological concept in your mind of who I am, but now you're getting a revelation, Job. Now you're seeing who God really is. And it humbled him. He was undone. Amen. So here it is. We're going to finish up here, all right? Like Peter, we need to be listening to God's voice in our teachers. So when I hear a brother or a sister speaking to me, saying, you know, I feel the Lord is saying this. Whether it's somebody praying over you or prophesying over you, or someone that says they have a word from the Lord or a word of knowledge, possibly. The Bible says, do not despise prophesying. Amen? So we need to be open to listen, at least, to what's being said. But then in our hearts, we need to be saying, oh, Lord Jesus, reveal to me by your Holy Spirit if this is of you or not. And don't just suck it in because it sounded sweet. You know, sometimes the devil deceives us with sweet things. Amen?
Yeah, sure.
Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. He didn't say you're the sugar of the earth. And sometimes, you know, he'll just say smooth things, flattering things. I've seen people manipulate others with flattery. There's times when people need encouragement. But sometimes people are simply manipulating somebody's emotions so that they can control them. They want to become God to that person. And so, if I want to hear from God, I got to go to my guru. You know, I got to go to my spiritual leader and hear from God. No, you should be acquainted with the Lord in your own heart. So if I'm speaking to you today, you can say, amen. Yes, the Holy Spirit, and I agree that that's good. It seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit, amen, that word that we heard today was from the Lord. You build your house upon the foundation, amen, that cannot be moved, that cannot be shaken. You establish your life in truth, but never according to the opinions of men. And when you hear a message, you need to be praying and asking God to give you the understanding of it. If it's of Him, amen, hang on to it. But if it's a bone, spit it out.